So I'm going to ask you to just repeat the Lord's Prayer. Pray the Lord's Prayer. We say repeat the Lord's Prayer, but I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, there are just so many people living in spiritual wickedness. And with everything that's going on, I have to say that we have sinned against God so much that we're right on the edge of judgment. But while we are on the edge of judgment, the Lord still desires to see that none of us, nobody gets lost. Amen. That everybody will be saved. And God has given us an opportunity to go any way that we choose to go. You can believe in him. You can believe in his son, Jesus Christ. He's not going to just strike you down if you believe in Buddha or anybody else. He gives you an opportunity to believe whatever it is that you want to believe. But God has already given us and instructed us on a way to go. And that's the old way. The old path. And the old path. It's just the way, the good way to go. Have you ever been on a new highway and then you really didn't know which way to get off, what exit? But you know if you went the old way, you just about don't even have to. You could close your eyes. And you know, when I get to this old tree over here, I just make this right turn and I go down a few more blocks and I'm home. You don't even have to know the name of the street. But then when you go down that new path, everything looks different. Things are not as visible. It's like the instructions that you get today when you open up a box and you got to put something together. They don't give you words. They give you pictures. And if you don't look at the pictures clear enough, the right side will be on the left. And by the time you finish putting everything almost together, there's a whole bunch of screws still left. Doors are not closing, and doors are not opening. And then you got to go all the way back to when you put them doors on to see where you went wrong. It's the same way today. You have all of these instructions that people are giving you, telling you what to do, leading you down a wrong path. And you go down it because it's new and fangled, and everybody's doing it. But when you get to where you need Jesus, you got to turn around and go back to the old way. You got to start singing some of them old songs. Start praying some of them old prayers. Stop looking in them little books that teach you how to pray. And start praying from your heart. Stop praying from your mind. And pray what is inside of you. Somebody say amen. All this week I kept hearing this song, "If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again." You don't know what it's like not to hear your mother to be able to pray again. Till your mother ain't here and you can't hear her pray again. Somewhere in the song it said it would mean so much to me. If I could only hear my mother pray again. Can I take my time this morning? I don't feel like rushing. I'm sweating like I'm rushing, but I don't feel like rushing. Hallelujah. The Lord still wants his people to go on the old paths. I want you to know that there's a right path and there's a wrong path. We must be sure that the path that we're taking is the one that God has ordained for us. That path is the one that he can bless, and is the path is the one that he honors. Prayer, prayer leads us down the right path. Prayer leads us down the path to righteousness. Proverbs 4 and 11 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. When we take time to pray, God unleashes his power into the world. There's a book by Ian Bounds called Prayer. Amen? And in it, he says, God's plan is to make much of the man, far more of him than anything else. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. See, I'm looking to be a better man for God in 2019. Because I've been praying and thinking about methods, and it ain't about methods and anything that I think of. I called the old minister from the time I was about 8 years old, Howard Broadnax, and I spoke to him this week. And he said, out of the blue, this is what he said to me. He says, how's it going? I says, yeah, now I know why they call it work. And it must have hit something in him. He said, you know what? It ain't meant to be work. God didn't do this to us. It ain't meant to be work. He says, put prayer before you and keep it in front of you. He said, you pray and you let God do the work. Church, we are going to have to start praying and let God do the work. And if we're going to be honest this morning, because I'm going to be very honest this morning, we have to admit that prayer, for the most part, is an undisciplined area of our spiritual life. It is sporadic, erratic, most of the time. It is an untapped resource, an unexplored continent where countless treasures remain to be unearthed. Everything that you think that you want, put it before the Lord in prayer. You know, we try to work smarter and not harder, but we're so busy working harder, we're not working smarter. We're supposed to be children of the Most High. They said, do everything with prayer and supplication. Whatever it is that you need, put it in prayer. Stop working for it. Some people can't come to church because they want the overtime to get the house. Put it in prayer. Because when it's for you, you're going to get it. That down payment that you think that you need, God will make a way that you don't need nothing. Prayer is talked about more than anything else and practiced less than anything else. And if we are truly believers, it is the one of the most important things that we must incorporate and indoctrinate in our spiritual lives. If we are going to be made and conformed into the image of Christ, well, Christ prayed. You never looked in the Bible and they said, well, he took time out to go hang out. When you find that scripture, please send it to me. The text this morning can be found in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. And it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. In this scripture, Paul understood prayer and the power of prayer. Prayer was an undeniable part of his life. And if you read through portions of the scripture, which God has always used him to write, you'll find over and over and over again that he calls all of us as Christians to pray. The fact of the matter is that you cannot really be a growing Christian and not pray. You can, just like you can't have a marriage and not talk to your wife. You get married to somebody and you don't talk to him. He marries you and then he don't talk to you. I mean, you marry. Well, how good is that marriage going to be? Well, you have a relationship with Christ and you don't talk to him. You don't call on him. You don't tell him the real deal. How good is that relationship really going to be? You know, in marriage and any other relationship, sometimes you know something's going on with your partner, right? Can I get an amen? And you sit there and you don't say nothing because you're waiting for them to say something. Can I get an amen? Amen. Same thing with Christ. You're in a relationship with him and he knows something's going on in your life and you're sitting there and you're not saying anything. But he knows what's going on, and he's waiting for you to open your mouth. The fact of the matter is that you can't really be a Christian, a growing Christian, and not pray. If you want to have fellowship, your relationship cannot be stagnant. And if it is, you'll never know the full benefit of your relationship. You see, when you don't pray and you don't get the benefits of having prayer with Christ and being open and honest with him, you don't get the full benefit of being in a relationship with him. And then the devil comes and says, well, why you want to be praying anyway? You see, you open a door for him to slip in, to put some negativity in there. But when you're praying and you're talking and you're constantly letting him know what's going on and you're in communion with him, the devil can't slip in there. Prayer is the pipeline of communication between God and his people, between God and those whom he loves. Amen? And a growing disciple will be one who will have a habit of praying. So I want you to notice several things that happen in this, the context of these two little scriptures that we read. It says, Paul starts by saying, devote yourself to prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. Pray persistently. In the original language, it means continue steadfastly in prayer. It can be translated persist. We know what it means to persist. Everybody in here has persisted at something. Because everybody in here wanted something. And you worked for it. And you went after it. And you worked hard for it. And you kept going and going and going until you got it. Paul says, pray persistently. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, He says, pray without ceasing. Persistent prayer, it's not an option for us. Why is it not an option for us? Because the devil is not stopping. He's not taking a break. He's another one who don't take a break, take 5 minutes off. He don't take lunch. He goes back and forth. So while you're taking a break, he's looking for that end, that he can get in there to wreck some havoc. Have you ever just took 5 minutes and turned away from something and you turn back around and all heck is broken loose? And all you did was turn around for a second. And when somebody comes to you, you say, well, what happened? Oh, I just turned around for a minute. And all of this happened. Same thing happens in your spiritual life. You turn around or you take a break because you've had too much. It's just church is just a little bit too much. This Jesus, he wants too much of me. I got to have some time for myself. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Two of the most instructive parables Jesus ever told on prayer was one that was in Luke 11. The other one was in Luke 18. And both have to do with being persistent and not giving up in prayer. In Luke 11 and 9 is where we find the promise that says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek. And you shall find it. And it shall be open to you. Each one of those is a present tense. It is an active voice. And it could be translated, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Jesus doesn't want us to give up in prayer. He instructs us to be persistent. In Luke 18 and 1, he says, now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all time they ought to pray and not lose heart. So now, there's a difference between persistent prayer and a long prayer. Sometimes people think if you pray long, you're going to get results. He doesn't say how long you pray, you're going to get great results. When you find that scripture, give it to me also. But he talks about persistent prayer. Prayer when you need prayer, prayer when you don't need prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. I ask my wife all the time, pray for this parking spot we need. And we get it. Some people think that's stupid. I did it one time. But now I'm a believer. If you don't believe, try it. Pray over the things that man says is stupid. And watch God answer those prayers. Persistence means not giving up, not quitting, not giving in, not becoming discouraged. When answers don't come quickly or in the manner that we have managed, some people give up on prayer. Don't stop praying. They quit because they don't feel like praying. The joy is gone and the feeling is not there. You should not pray because you feel like praying. Prayer is not an emotion. It's a necessity. Just like eating. There are people who eat as an emotion. Well, I get emotional, so I start eating. And then all of a sudden you find out later on that it wasn't good for you. But if you eat because it's necessary, you'll find out you eat what you need to eat. Just like prayer. It's a necessity. It's not an emotional thing. It's not something that we do when things go bad. It's not something that you do just because somebody asks you to do it. It's not a thing you do just because you say, I pray twice a day. Prayer is always through the day. Sometimes you just got to pray. That song, if I could hear my mother pray again, what struck me with that song is that you know that something happened to my brother. But when I talked to my sister, she said on a particular day that my mother wasn't feeling quite and acting quite the same. She knew something was wrong because she still has the Holy Spirit working in her, comforting her, speaking to her, guiding her. And that song hit me then, if I could hear my mother pray again. Because regardless of the situation, she would have been praying. As he went into surgery, she would have been praying. Regardless of the outcome, she would have been praying. The second thing that Paul is telling us is that we got to pray passionately. Now, remember I asked you to pray the Lord's Prayer? Some of us prayed it, and some of us repeated it. I'll be thy name. But it's the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, I set you up. I set you up because I wanted you to see what we do when we pray. Because the same way that you pray the Lord's Prayer is the same way that some of us pray every day with the things that we want God to do for us. Father God, help our families. Touch my son, my daughter. He says, pray passionately. You see, if you are persistent with something, it stands to reason that you are passionate about it as well. In fact, Paul says to be vigilant, watchful, and that is the opposite of just being lazy about it. Amen? Jesus was passionate about his prayer life. Every time you saw Jesus praying, he was praying with passion. In Luke 3:1, at his baptism, he was praying. When he was praying, the heavens opened up. When he was passionate about that prayer. In Luke 6:12, before he called his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. Passionate prayer opened the windows of heaven, and God shined his light in his direction. In Luke 9:29, at his transfiguration, it says, and while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming. Passionate prayer ushers us into the throne of heaven and enables us to experience the glory of the Father. Just like when we sing praises to the Lord and it opens us up to receive a blessing. Prayer opens us up to receive the glory of the Father. In John 17, he prayed for all of those who would follow him, that we would not be kept, that we would be kept from the evil one, and that we would be sanctified by the truth. Passionate prayer expresses the deepest desires of our hearts and reveals our love for others. In Luke 22:44, Jesus is praying through the night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, I have a hard time with this word. Gethsemane. And it says, and being in agony, he was praying fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Passionate prayer enables us to be totally honest with God, even in the midst of the most trying circumstances. Passionate prayer, when you're passionate in your prayer, you are honest and you're open. And all of us say that we want to be open and honest in our relationship, don't we? Somebody say amen. How can we keep have a passionate, open, and honest relationship with our Heavenly Father. When you pray from the heart, that is what passionate prayer is all about. That is a prayer that is from your heart and not just from your head. When was the last time you got passionate about something? Think about it. When was the last time you got passionate about something? Some people get passionate about the thought of gift giving, of gift receiving at Christmas. And your spirit is so high during the season. Some people get passionate about New Year's and the upcoming things that are going to happen in the new year. And you're passionate and you're high strung and can't wait for the new year to come. What about being passionate about Jesus Christ? Just before Jesus got ready to pray that Lord's Supper, he said, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. So what has happened to the Lord's Prayer? We repeat it as though it's some kind of mantra that will bless us and God is going to hear us. This is not the kind of prayer that you do when you're in a relationship. James 5 and 16 says that the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. When you pray feverishly, passionately, your prayer accomplishes a lot. Look at the last part of verse 2. It says, pray gratefully. Pray with thanksgiving. A constant theme that should run through our prayer is that of gratitude. Paul never fails to mention gratitude. I'm so grateful that I can see Sister Johnson come up here and sing that song. I was shocked. Because she calls me and she says, you know, I'm not having such a great day today. She was supposed to have surgery for this pain that she's going through on January 2nd. Something else stepped in and pushed it back. That is a disappointment. That is something from the devil. So she has to suffer a little more pain. But in the midst of her pain, she came to church today and she stood before you and she sung a song. And she never said once that her back is hurting, her leg is hurting, her ankle's hurting. She said nothing. She said there's victory in the trials, in the valleys, in everything that I'm going through, there's victory. How many of us this morning with the things can we say that there's victory in the things that we're going through? And in spite of all of that, I know that she was grateful that she could get up here today and stand here today and sing a song. Every time God is getting ready to do a new thing in your life, move you in a new direction, the enemy wants to put something there. Some of us have made some resolutions about being closer to God. Watch out for the enemy. Watch out because he's going to try to do something different. Watch out because he's going to try to get in the way. Sister Yvette asked you to pray for her. If you don't pray for nothing else different, pray for her. Because she's made a new vow, a new resolution to the Lord. Things are going to come up. Things are going to get in the way. If you want to do things your own way, ain't nothing going to get in your way. Things are going to look very rosy, cheeky. Everything is going to be looking good. But you're doing it for you. You're doing it for Christ. There's nothing like on the day that, on your birthday, that you're blessing the Lord and say, thank you for letting me see another birthday. And Lord, on this birthday, I'm going to bless you. I want to know more of you. I want to be more involved with you. I want to have more of a deeper relationship with you. That's what he wants to hear. When we express gratitude when we pray, it accomplishes several things. It articulates dependence. It says that you know who God is, you know who you are, and you are aware, at least to some degree, of how desperate you are or you would be if it wasn't for his providence and his presence in your life. You know, we're just so ungrateful. I know that I'm ungrateful. My wife might do things for me and I don't always say, well, thank you, baby, thank you. I just don't. And every time somebody does something for you, you don't always say thank you. If you do, you might say it like thank you. And you don't really mean it. We do the same thing that we do in relationships, we do with God. Because if you did it with God like that, or if you did it with God all the time the way that he wants us to, God would not allow you to do it to anybody else any different. Can I say that again if you didn't get it? If you did it and you were grateful to God for everything that he did for you, always, all the time, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, then that relationship that you have with God would not allow you to treat anybody else differently, and you wouldn't take anything or anybody for granted. But because we take each other for granted, we take God for granted. We are creatures of habits. When we pray, we should always express our understanding that every breath that we take is in fact a gift from God. Every breath that we take. You might not believe this until they put a breathing tube on you. You might not believe it until you get caught in a situation where all of a sudden you can't catch your breath. Then you'll be talking about, oh, if I could just breathe again. Praying generates humility. Expressing gratitude continues to remind us how truly helpless we are without God. Everything in this world, everything in the world system, everything in our flesh, the people that are all around us, all try to reinforce this idea that we are a self-made person. But everything in God's word speaks to the contrary. Michael 6 and 8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require you of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Everything that you have, every fiber of your being is because God has blessed you and he has graced you. Expressing gratitude demonstrates our relationship. It lets us know that he is our father and we are his children. And as his children, we know he loves us and that he has provided for us out of love. You know, how do we feel when our children are ungrateful? How many of us have children? Come on, raise your hand. Ain't nobody gonna bite you. How have you felt when you've done something out of love for your children and they were ungrateful for it? How did that make you feel? Did it make you feel like you wanted to kiss them? Did it make you feel like you wanted to love them even more? Did it make you feel like you wanted to try harder? We are children of the Most High. Amen. How do you think it makes him feel when we are ungrateful? But you know what? He ain't like the world. He loves us more. He still continues to show his grace and his mercy towards us. He don't hold nothing back. He don't start calling us names under his breath. He don't start saying, I wish you were never born. He don't say, I brought you in, I take you out. We enjoy the benefits of a relationship that we rarely, hardly deserve. But what greater thing is this than to have this fellowship with God? And it's not sufficient enough. All he wants us to do is to pray. Pray with gratitude. There's more. If you look at verse 3, he says, pray selfishly. Thank you for getting this, because this one's hot. How many, when we pray for our families? Raise your hand. How many, when we pray for our children? How many, when we pray for ourselves? How many, when we pray for our neighbors? The hands are starting to go down now. How many, when we pray for that president of ours? How many, when we pray for somebody in another country that we don't know? How many, when we pray for that hateful person that hate us? How many, when we pray for something outside of us? Jesus wants us to pray selfishly. So when we pray, it's not just for our own reasons. It's not just for our money, our jobs, and our health, and our children. But we're to pray for everybody. The Bible says that when Jesus prayed in his prayer life, it says he bore himself for the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. Well, everybody out there that's not saved is a transgressor. Stop looking at the person and look at the soul. Stop looking at the sin and realize it's the enemy. Stop looking at them through your own eyes and look through spiritual eyes. You can't do that by yourself, but when you start to pray, prayer will make you see in different eyes. Sometimes your best friends and the people that are around you, you gotta stop and pray for them. I love people when they say, don't let the devil use you. Jesus turned around to Peter and said, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. The people around you, sometimes their faith fails. You got to pray for them. Sometimes you got to be outright, and sometimes you got to be silent and pray for them. Every fight is not your fight. Every argument you don't have to get into. Just pray for them. Don't wait till at night to pray for them. Prayer is needed right then and right there. That is persistent prayer. Pray when it's needed. Pray when it's not needed. Pray, 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 pray. Even when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, he was still praying for all of them that was calling him names, that was rooting for the Roman soldiers to kill him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Sometimes somebody's doing something to you and you already know you got the victory. You got to say, Father, forgive this person because they don't know who they're doing. They don't know who they're messing with. I'm a child of the Almighty. I know I got victory. I know that I'm going to win. He prayed for his church. And in his highly priestly prayer, he said this, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but for those who thou hast given me. Jesus prayed even for us today because we were given to him. He didn't say those given to me right now. He said for those that are given to me. He is still there at the right hand. And we are still given to him. Amen? He is still there interceding for us. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, hence also he was able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus prayed intercessory prayers. He was ever, forever praying for others because Jesus understood the power of prayer. When you have a tool, you ever take your car, you got something done in your house and you just don't know how you're going to get it done? And then the guy, the expert comes in and all of a sudden he's got the right tool and he puts it in the right place and he just makes a little turn and all of a sudden things start working out and opening up and you just look and marvel and you say, I would have never thought of how to do that. It's the same way with prayer. You don't know how you're going to do something, but you got the right tool to get to the right mechanic that knows the right spot to make that turn with the wrench to open it up. And then all of a sudden, things start working in your favor. Prayer is that tool. We got to know how to use it. And even if you don't know how to use it, he gives you instructions how to use it. My charge this first Sunday in 2019 is to say the tool that we have to use this year for the manifestation to come into your life is prayer. Without it, you're not getting anywhere. Without it, you ain't going nowhere. Without it, you ain't going to have anything. You'll be at the end of 2019 saying this whole year went by and everything, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed because you didn't change. You're still using the same method that you used in 2018. It didn't work then and it's not going to work now. They said insanity is repeating the same old mistakes, expecting different results. This church has moved from a church of prayer sometimes people are praying and half the people don't even want to stand up. The way I was taught, when somebody's praying, stand up. We don't reverence scripture. Scripture's being read. I was taught, stand up. You say stand, the people who can hardly stand are standing, and the people who can walk are sitting. You can see everything from there. I invite each and every one of you after church, sit in that chair and look out there. See what you can see. We've developed this whole habit of things that are not godly. We developed a habit of not praying, but only when we want something. I'm tired of praying for people who only want something for themselves. It's wearing me out. I'm tired of writing letters for people who want me to write letters but won't pray about it. It's not like my letters is getting you a job. It ain't getting you nothing. But I pray before I write that I can write the right words that will affect whoever's going to read this letter or touch it. I pray for you as you go wherever you're going with this instrument because it is an instrument from on high. It is anointed. I don't know, and I can't find in scripture where it says God helps those who help themselves. When you find that scripture, give it to me too. But I know that he says, seek and you shall find. It says, he said, when I pray, you always hear my prayers. It don't say when I want, you fulfill my wants. It does say he gives you what you need. Jesus is always praying for us, always interceding for us. Paul understood the power of prayer. In those couple of scriptures that I read that Paul was writing to the Colossian Christians, I want you to understand he wanted them to pray with a specific purpose. He wanted them to pray for him. He wanted them to pray that God would open the door so that they could speak the gospel. Because the gospel is what Paul lived for. It was the preaching of the gospel that landed Paul in prison. It was the preaching of the gospel that was always in the forefront of Paul's mind. You see, Paul always wanted to follow the Great Commission. He wanted to make disciples of all nations. So when Paul was praying for them to get him out of prison, it wasn't to get out of prison so he could be free. It was to get him out of prison so he could go preach the gospel. Sometimes we want that new car. Is it to get you around? To go to more church meetings? Or is it to look good? Help me out here. You can answer it for yourself. Is it to get you around, to do God's will? Or is it because you just want to look like the Joneses? You want to look good. I'm not going to talk about my red car. But it's like fire burning inside of my bones. I got to talk about it. There's a certain, we go around all the time. But there's a certain level. I mean, my hip bothers me because of the way I sit in the red car. So I can't drive it all the time going around all the time. So I had to get something going back and forth 2 to 3 hours. That was a little different. But God gave me that car. He gave me an opportunity to pay for it. So I paid for it. But when you looked at my finances, it was like, why even bother? But God made a way. He made a way. So I'm not walking around looking to get something different. I got what I need. Do you ever get what you need and you're comfortable, or you want more? See, this society we live in, when you get what you need, you want more. If God gives you a job making 6 figures, you say, I'm close to 7. At a time when I was making 50, I was still looking at somebody else, maybe sitting next to me making 60. And I'm like, I want 62. Your neighbor pulls up in the BMW and you still got your Ford. You're like, well, I could get one of them. I could do this. We have to learn to be satisfied with what God gives us. Because when he gives you something, it's not a hassle. It's not a chore. There's no labor to it. It's seamless. Amen? Paul wanted the doors to open in the prison so he could go preach the gospel. Paul was all about making disciples. One of the things that is misunderstood about the realities of discipleship is the goal of spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline is never a selfish thing. Jesus wants us to conform to the image of him. When I say that, Jesus' image was to pray for everybody and intercede on everybody. And in John 20 and 21, he says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So our purpose of spiritual growth is not to enjoy personal benefits, but it is to serve the Lord and reap glorious benefits that he gives us. So I'm going to move along here because I'm taking a little bit. But these are things I want you to recognize when you pray. When you pray, examine your heart. Does your heart have the right heart attitude? You know your heart has an attitude. When you pray, does your heart have the right attitude? If you are in love with him, your prayer life will reflect that love. Because prayer begins in our heart. And it's an outpouring of our heart towards God. When you pray, measure your words. Prayer begins in our hearts, but it makes its way through our lips. What the psalmist said in Psalms 19, he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. How many times do we pray and it's really not acceptable in the sight of the Lord? God hears what we say. And be careful what you say, because God is always listening and holds us accountable for every word said and not said. Remember, I said the meditation of your heart. Your heart, sometimes it comes out your lips. There's other times it stays in your heart. The words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. What does that mean? He sees your heart. So not only does he hear your words, but he sees your words and he sees your heart. When you pray, release your life. Oh, hallelujah. Release your life. When I say release your life, listen to this. How can you expect God to take you seriously if you're not at least willing to participate in God's answer to your prayer? Sometimes God, when he wants to answer your prayer, he wants to turn you out. You're asking me, what does that mean? I'm saying sometimes when God wants to answer your prayer, he wants to turn you up, down, all around, inside and out. And you got to release your life. You got to release your little $100 hair that you had done. Release your $200 shoes or suit or whatever it is. Release your clothes, release your words, release everything to God. Because he wants it all. Some of us are just too cute for God to bless. Come in for the show. Can you seriously pray for lost people to come to Christ if you're not going to share with them? Can you honestly pray to God to meet the material needs of somebody else if you're not ready to contribute what God has entrusted to you? I want God to bless you. I want him to bless you so much. But if you need a dollar, I can't give it to you. But I'm going to pray for you. And God didn't tell me to take this money out and give you something. If you're going to be effective in your prayer life, you must be sold out and willing to take the action when God responds. How many times has God called you to respond and you say, now's not the time? Not now, God. I got to wait. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tonight. Your involvement might be the part of his answer to your prayer. What does your prayer look like in the morning? Are you persistent in prayer? Are your prayers passionate? Or are you just performing? You're just going through the motion. Are your prayers filled with intensity and fervor? Or are they weak, timid, and lacking faith? You know who you are. You're praying, but you have no faith. What you praying for? That's as empty as I love you. We all heard empty I love yous before. The words are there, but the passion and the meaning behind it is not. So how can you pray to a great God and be weak in your faith and in your prayer? What about your gratitude? How much time do you spend thanking the Lord for all he has done for you? And what about those people that you're praying for? Is there anybody in your life that you're praying for them to get saved? Do you really want them to be saved? Or are you just asking for the Lord, Lord, please save them? If you're asking like that, you got to get busy. You got to get fervent. You have to have intensity. It said, seek me while I may be found. Seek is not a passionate word. If you want somebody to be saved, you have to pray and seek the Lord for them to be saved. I asked you this morning, what would happen in your life if you really began to pray? What would happen if you became a prayer warrior? Instead of doing some of the things that you're in the habit of doing, you'd stop that and do some things that would have eternal consequence. What would happen to your family if you really prayed? You know what? Your mother really prayed for you. She really prayed for you because you was just a little demon. I ain't talking about Colin because she was really good. Mom really prayed for me. She really prayed for me. No matter what I was doing, she prayed for me. Even when she knew I was wrong, she prayed for me. Even when my eyes was red, and she said, what's wrong with you? She'd give me an out because my father was there. She said, oh, you got an allergy, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. But she prayed for me. Some of us in here today, you're here today, saved or not, because somebody prayed for you. And when they prayed the old way. They got down on their knees, and they stayed down there, and they prayed, Sometimes they could hardly get up, but they were determined until something happened, some change. Some transformation would come in the life of somebody that they loved. They came to church and they prayed all night long. They went Wednesday night, they prayed. They went Thursday night, they prayed. They went Friday night, they prayed. In the shower, they prayed. As they were going to work, they prayed. As you were walking out the door, they prayed. Time to get back to old paths. Old ways of doing things. This new way of doing things just ain't working right. Things ain't happening right. God ain't giving us the things that we know that we can get. We're not getting the answers to our prayers because we ain't praying the way we were taught to pray. Bible says when Peter, Paul, Silas, when they went to jails for various reasons, it says, and when the saints began to pray. And them saints that wasn't just my mother praying for me, the saints were praying for me. We busy praying for our own children. Pray for each and every child that you come in contact with. Each and every child in this sanctuary. Each and every child member that comes to this church. You might not love that child, but that mother, that father loves that child. Every time you think of something bad that somebody's doing, remember that's somebody's child. And if it ain't somebody's child, it's God's child. People going to the hospital. We don't even call them because we don't know them. Well, you want to know something? I bet if you call and say, you know what, I'm praying for you, and they don't know you, when they get out, they're going to know you. Kick that door in. We're so busy, you staring at me and I'm staring at you. Kick that door in. Prayer warriors all around this church. Anointed people all around this church. Holding on to them prayers. I said, release your life. Release your prayers. Release the anointing. Release the blessings. Release blessings and blessings. Release healing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because that child that you don't know that you're praying for, maybe your child is going somewhere and they stop something from happening. Because they know that your parents go to this church. Or your parents know their parents. Let's have a godly reputation. That no matter what happens, we know our children and our family and our children that we don't even know in this church. Families in this church are covered. Get back to the old way of doing things. It's time to come back to God. It's time to come back to prayer. It's time to come back to praying and fasting. Doing half a job. We're doing half a job. Less than half a job. We're expecting miracles. And it ain't happening. You're blaming God. Don't blame him. Same God is the same God. Same God that opened the Red Sea. Same God. Same God. One person dies, another one lives. It's the same God. His choice. Same God. I say same God. My sister don't even know. Yesterday I got a call from my cousin's wife. My cousin Van, we're like brothers. I told Brother Savage earlier, he beat cancer already a couple of years ago. 2 weeks ago, something was happening. They made him go from Jersey into Sloan Kettering. Well, I called them. They released him. He's been out of there. But his wife called me yesterday at 12 o'clock. The phone rang. I was downstairs, and the phone rang again. I said, well, somebody got to answer it because they're calling twice immediately. She said, he's back in the hospital. Something busted. Colon. Prostate something. Poison's all in his body. going into surgery, well, I began to pray. And all through the night, I kept texting him. How's he doing? What's going on? I'm still praying for you. Right now, he's doing fine. Next few days are going to be critical. But let me tell you something. My brother went through surgery. One died. My cousin went through surgery. One's living. It ain't my choice. It's God's choice. All I got to do is pray. Ian Bounds says, only God can move mountains. Only God can move mountains. But faith and prayer move God. God can move that mountain. He can move that mountain for you. But faith and prayer moves him to do it for you. So I end with 1 Timothy, the second chapter, which is the basis of our prayer and our fasting for the next 21 days. It says, therefore I exalt all first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and of giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentile in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So I therefore declare that we lift our holy hands without wrath and doubting. So whatever it is that you want God to do in 2019, lift your holy hands. And don't be angry if you get it or you don't get it. But lift your hands and don't doubt God. It might not be now that he gives it to you, but if it's for you, you're going to have it. Let us stand this morning.